Good morning, July 1st, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's thread is access. From Minneapolis expanding low-barrier treatment partnerships to vending machines in Jessup and Columbia offering test strips and treatment resource links at no cost. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news, Vermont Public reports on new Vermont laws taking effect July 1st, including changes involving cannabis. At the national level, Filter says the Department of Homeland Security still does not know what its fentanyl seizures actually do, pointing to gaps in data collection. That is a practical reminder that seizure totals alone may not tell listeners much about real-world overdose risk. KFF also has a national look at the cost and use of inpatient mental health and substance use treatment. Another federal development to watch comes from Filter, which reports that the DEA and FDA testified on the first day of the hearing on marijuana rescheduling. And internationally, Medical Express reports that Australia is relaxing oversight for psychedelic therapy despite limited safety evidence. In the social stream, one post centered lived experience in recovery. On Blue Sky, I Am No There At All wrote that recovery is not always linear, that people fail sometimes, get up, take accountability, and try again one day at a time. There were also a couple of practice-focused signals. The Baltimore Sun shared that machines in Jessup and Columbia offer fentanyl and xylazine test strips, along with QR codes linking to treatment resources, with no cost and no questions asked. Action for Overdose Awareness argued on X that if fentanyl mixed with carfentanil can make overdoses harder to reverse, policymakers should fund naloxone saturation, EMS readiness, drug checking, surveillance, and low barrier treatment. That connects directly with the kinds of access and readiness themes showing up elsewhere in today's briefing. A contrasting message in the opposition space came from Twulf Recovery on X, which described another failure of the harm reduction model and framed the homelessness crisis as really being a drug crisis. From Minneapolis, a June 30th city newsletter says the city is expanding low-barrier addiction treatment through partnerships to increase access. The update says long-acting injectable medications for opioid use disorder are helping people start treatment more easily. Since August 2025, the Fairview Recovery Clinic in Cedar Riverside has administered more than 150 doses of long-acting injectable buprenorphine. The clinic served more than 1,300 patients in 2025, and the newsletter says demand is rising. It also says new treatment pathways are reducing barriers and improving referrals from emergency departments, hospitals, and community programs. In research, one new study in the Journal of Substance Use and Addiction Treatment looks at how public health vending machines can extend harm reduction in the United States, drawing lessons from implementation efforts. That pairs closely with the Maryland vending machine update in the social section. Another study in Drug and Alcohol Review examines concurrent extramedical use of medication for opioid use disorder among urban adults who have injected drugs and were prescribed methadone or buprenorphine. And a third paper, also in the Journal of Substance Use and Addiction Treatment, looks at how opioid treatment program staff in North Carolina view community pharmacy-based methadone dispensing. On the policy front, Florida has a newly signed law on recovery residences.
In Denver, a city resolution addresses outreach workers supporting individuals and households experiencing unsheltered homelessness who cannot safely access or appropriately use available options. Turning to funding, there are three current opportunities to note. Two HRSA opportunities are both due July 8, 2026, so those deadlines are coming up soon. One is the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or R-Corp, impact opportunity. The other is R-Corp planning. SAMHSA also has a Preventing Youth Overdose opportunity focused on treatment, recovery, education, awareness, and training. That deadline is July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in activism, Mobilize Recovery is urging people to tell HHS that recovery support works by July 5, 2026. Shatterproof is also asking for donations to support affirming addiction recovery care. If that July 5th HHS message matters to your work, the clock is already short. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.